Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, I'm going to bring a word this morning, and for those of you who were here last week, it's a continuation from what God is speaking to us about. It's time for God's power. That's really the flow of the ministry today. It's time for God's power. And I think if to talk really this morning, to begin with dedicating a baby. When a child is born, that baby inherently has immense potential. And I know that that baby has potential to bring joy, to bring love into a family and into a community even. Every child in the church community is actually treasured and loved. But a child is inherently born with talents. Every child has been given specific talents. When you were born, you were talented. Nobody knew it, and neither did you. But every person born was born with talent. And the key about what Mark and Sarah were doing this morning as they dedicated Corbin to the Lord is they were saying to the Lord, we want your purpose and we want to fully realize the potential in this boy and see this boy raised into something special for God. And the word potential means hidden abilities. So when we see Corbin, we're praying for him. We know that even by faith, because it's hidden, that he carries hidden abilities. And potential in any person, you or me or anybody we know, potential can be brought out in the right environment. When children grow up in a wrong environment, very often that potential is pushed down and absolutely channeled in the wrong way. And, you know, we could say the immense potential in somebody like Amy Winehouse, who sadly died yesterday. It was immense potential. But life was lived the wrong way. And the wrong way leads to absolutely massive problems. And it is hugely sad and a great loss, I believe, to have received that news yesterday. But what about the right kind of potential? The potential that God actually inherently places in people that develops and grows up and actually becomes an immense force for good in society. I believe that's what we are to live for, to change our world with the gifts and the calling of God on our lives. Just like an acorn has potential to be an oak tree in the right environment, most things have potential. If I had my purse here, it doesn't have much potential, but what I can do is something. Currently, I probably only have about £20 cash in my purse. But I have potential to do something if I've got money. So money is a hidden ability to do something with. You are gifted in certain areas, and sometimes those gifts are hidden, but when they're developed and come out, they have power to bless and change you and the people around you. The possibilities, that's what potential is all about. You have a possibility or a capability of being something or becoming something. And so potential is something that we are to see actually happen if we're going to live a fulfilled life through the years we've been given on earth. Because we only have a set amount of years, we may as well reach our God-given potential. Now, in God and in Christ Jesus, the Word of God tells us, and let's just turn to Galatians chapter 3. We'll read this. It's a brilliant scripture. And verse 26, the word says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now that speaks of a kind of an equality in terms of potential. If we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus. Now, to become a child of God or the offspring of God, you need to be born of God. And that is something that happens when you receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You are born again, and that new birth says that you are, the Word of God says you are a son of God. You are the offspring of God. You are a new creation in Christ. That means your new nature has the potential to show God to the world. So it's a good way of thinking, isn't it? According to truth. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now this scripture actually means you are all sons in terms of children. So as we dedicated Corbin this morning, we could say he's a child, but he is the son of Mark and Sarah. But there are also references to sons in the New Testament that speak of maturity. Those Christians who have grown up in the family of God, under God, and have become mature. Because you can be a born-again believer, but never be developed. You can have every potential to show God to the world, but that potential is never realized. But if you come into the right environment for growth and maturity, you can grow up and show God to the world. It's fantastic, isn't it? So let's turn to Romans chapter 8 and let's look at the scripture that refers to mature sons of God. Every believer has the potential to actually be like Jesus in the world, both in nature and character, but also in power. It's time for God's power. So in Romans 8:14, the Word of God says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now that scripture is referring to the grown-up sons. Just as Corbin is as much a son now as he will be when he's 30, he will be grown up and equipped to live according to his talents and giftings in the natural. So every person who is born again, that would include a new believer, has absolutely everything in Christ. In you is Christ. And therefore, the potential in you is the same as any other believer who's grown up. But it just needs to grow and develop and become mature. And then it says in verse 19 that the whole of creation is waiting with eager expectation for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the world is waiting for the sons of God to show up, not just go to church, to manifest or to reveal who they are in everyday life. Your family are waiting for the anointing and the gifting on your life to be manifest. And the whole world is waiting for us to be mature and walk as Jesus did. You see, when a mature person, when you've grown up in God, you no longer are led by your feelings. You're no longer led by your own thoughts or ways of thinking. Because maturity is connected with your diet. And your diet needs to be strong to grow mature, which is the Word of God. And the Word of God enables you to become a mature son of God, able to live as Jesus lived, to walk as Jesus walked, to speak as Jesus spoke. Because Jesus himself said, the same works as me and greater still you will do, because I go to the Father. And so the potential in you is awesome. It's amazing. You have in God amazing potential. Some of which, praise God, we have seen already manifest in our lives. But we haven't yet reached our full potential. There is further to go in God. There's more maturity. There's greater things still for us in God. And so when you're born again, you're born with a new nature, with new abilities. And that growing up process, maturing in Christ, will bring you into a place where there is a demonstration of who God is. And that is the goal, because all of creation, and I believe God, is waiting for us to grow up and do the same things as Jesus. Now, there's no condemnation if we're not yet fully grown up, as long as we are taking the steps towards, Lord, I want to grow. I want to see greater things in my life so that Jesus will be seen in the world. So when somebody meets you and me, when we're operating out of our potential, they say, wow, I met with God today through you. And that can be in a cafe, it can be in the gym, it can be wherever you're walking or working, and it can even be here this morning, because you are showing the nature of God and the ability of God through your life. And so God always wants to take the lid off our expectations of what he can do with us, because he wants to do greater things still. He wants to do even more with your life than what you've already seen. Amen. Which is good news. Our potential is set not by what people say we are, not even by our experience of who we are. Thank God. Our potential is set by God and his word. Amen. And if you want to know your potential, you get your picture from the Word of God. The Word tells you that you are amazing in Christ. God's work of art, God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. You need a new picture of who you are in Christ to be much more powerful than what your parents used to say you were on a bad day. And sometimes even on a good day. You need a different picture of yourself than what your colleagues say you are. You need to live with a vision and a picture branded in your mind that you are who God says you are. And you can do what God says you can do. And the branding needs to happen with an upgrade of thinking. If we don't upgrade our thoughts to where God's thoughts are, we cannot fulfill our potential. I used to think that I couldn't do so much. There was so much that was closed to my life because of me. And basically, I was basing my potential on my natural giftings and my intellect, my age, my gender. But God says, I'm going to give you a different picture. I'm going to upgrade your thinking. And that upgrade is going to enable you to launch into your potential in God. And this potential is not that anybody should boast, but that God should get the glory. Because I'm saying I couldn't, but with Christ I can do all things. And that's an upgrade of a mindset. And some of you need to change your phones in your head and get an upgrade, or the way you've computerized your thinking. Get into the Word of God, because then you can come into the right plan. We also need to live out the new life in a very real way by developing habits that enable your potential to come to pass. I have a habit every day to meditate on the Word of God. Without fail, I will set my mind and work on the Word and let the Word work on me so that I reach my potential. Because I can't reach my potential without faith. And faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I can't reach potential without prayer. I need relationship with God on a daily basis that enables Him to speak to me so that I can hear His voice and follow Him. And so I develop habits that enable me to reach my potential. I have a habit, and have always done since I was saved when I was 27. I started a habit that I've never stopped, and that is being in the church I belong to on a Sunday. Unless I'm on holiday. And then you will not see me. But that's my habit. It's a habit that develops and releases my potential in God. I have a habit of having friends who are believers. Not just people who say they're Christians, but people of faith. Who actually believe what God says and do it. And I love to surround myself with people who have a can-do in God mentality. I make sure that my relationships, I've made a habit of having people around me who actually want to go with God. I also have a habit of reaching the world personally. I'm not living in an ivory tower. I love to go out and see people saved. But I develop habits that create an ability in me to reach my potential. So we all need to reach our potential in God through upgraded thinking, through getting the Word of God as our picture of who we are, and through developing habits that will enable us to reach our potential. You know, I know we've got a few doctors in the room. We thank God for them. They spend years and years training. And I know if I was on a ward, when they're first trained, who would you rather see? Somebody who's done it a lot or the one who's just never done it but got the theory? Okay, so we all come into a lot of theory in church, but it's actually only as you do that you actually see, hey, this really works. You start to practice your faith. You know, a practicing doctor is somebody you want to go and see, not just somebody who's fresh out of college. Although they may have the answer, it's just a building up of trust because you've actually got the proof that they've lived it. And that's all part of being a Christian, is you come and get a download on a Sunday or whenever you're being trained in God. And then actually you go and put it into practice. Because if you don't practice it, it's all just theory. And it's a powerless life. But our potential is realized through seeing these things. Now, the devil is out aggressively to diminish and discredit you. His strategy is always to put you down. And to say that you're never going to reach your potential. You're never going to be good enough. Has anybody ever heard that one? What you do is never enough. It's never good enough. The point is, he's a liar. And he works in the realm of guilt and condemnation. Jesus is the truth. And he works in the realm of setting people free through believing truth. Amen. So, we have to be aware that the devil tries to bring us down and put us down. Now, there is frustration if I put myself in a wrong environment and try to become something I'm not. Has anybody ever done that? Anybody ever been in a place where actually you feel this is just not quite me? Can you imagine an acorn wanting to fly? You'd say to the acorn, you were not created to fly, you were created to be planted. And we've got to know what we're made for. Once again, what we're created for is set by God, not by me. And Paul actually said, I'm an apostle by the will of God. And I could say, in Christ, everybody has equal potential, but your specific sphere of calling is set by God. And within that sphere, you will prosper and reach your full potential. Yep. Very important we understand that there is a right place for the outworking of your destiny or your potential. Now, Jesus said everything is possible for him who believes. So you can reach your potential by believing. You can do the works of Jesus by believing. And so when you're faced with a situation, what needs to come out of you is the ability God has given you to meet that potential, that situation head on and see an amazing victory. So everything is possible for him who believes. Now look with me to Acts. I was reading this yesterday and it, well, blew my mind. It's an amazing story here in the book of Acts, chapter 14. We haven't quite gone electronic yet. All the pages are turning. In Acts 14, verse 8, in Lystra there sat a man crippled in his feet who was lame from birth and had never walked. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul looked directly at him, saw that he had faith to be healed, called out, "Stand up on your feet." At that, the man jumped up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Laconian language, "The gods have come to us in human form." Now, it's awesome. Paul is preaching the word, because that's the only way faith can come. He's not preaching about what he feels or thinks. He's preaching the word of God, preaching the truth. And there's a guy there who has never walked, and it's not actually... You could actually say he has not reached his potential physically. He's not walked yet. He's not walking in his potential. God created man whole. And see, faith sets the bar. It sets the bar. It sets what you're aiming for. And so Paul, he's kind of working with the word of God and he's speaking the word. And what's happening is the word is creating an expectation in this man who has never had hope before in his life. Because that's what the word of God does. It brings hope. Brings a future expectation of something better. So hope and faith are coming as Paul is preaching the word. And this man is still in the same condition, getting a different picture on the inside of himself. I could walk today. I could actually walk today. Paul is preaching about a man who can heal me. And so this is, you could say it's a similar environment to this. Okay? The word of God is being preached. Somebody's hearing it. And they're going, actually I could do and see more than what I've seen yet. They're actually grabbing the word because there's faith. They're mixing what they hear with faith. Because you can hear, but not actually receive faith. And it's grabbing hold of what God says you can do. And that's what this man is doing. And Paul sees by the Spirit. I love that. He sees. He doesn't see the natural. He sees the spirit of a person. Because that's what God works with. And he sees faith. And so Paul behaves like God. How did God create the world? He spoke, "Let there be light." So what did Paul do? He commands, "Stand up on your feet." A man who had never stood. He spoke words that actually spoke about the potential being realized. He spoke of the release of spiritual power into that man. And there was a connection from that man through Paul, and the man stood up and walked. Now, the crowd said, the gods have come in human form. They said, Paul must be a god. Now, this is dangerous, so please don't say Kingdom Faith preach heresy. But I understand why they said it. Because no man without God can heal like that. But God is using a man to heal. And so it's like, let's put this together and say, they must be gods. Well, we're not gods and we're never to be worshipped. And Paul said at that point, don't turn to us. We are not the ones. Jesus is the one. He is the only one who can do this. However, he is in me and I am a son of God. And therefore, it is in my nature to heal people. You getting the picture? It's in your nature to heal. It's in your nature to speak the word, to see an exchange of faith, to God create faith first. Don't just go and do it and be disappointed. Because we've all done that, haven't we? But when there's faith created, it creates the power of God and the release of God into a situation. We are sons of God. We are not God, but Christ himself lives in us, and our potential is awesome. Now, to reach our potential, a demand must be made on us. I do hope you're enjoying the preaching this morning, because I believe this is liberating. But as soon as you're talking about demands being placed on people, nope, I don't want any demands. It is for freedom. Christ has set me free. But actually, unless you are met with a situation where you can't do something and you need a living faith to change it, you won't reach your God potential. But when you have a challenge right on your doorstep, then you will rise and say, actually, with God, I can do this. And so potential is actually realized through demands. When you're living in challenge, I don't know if anybody in this room is in a challenge currently, but that challenge is actually good for you, because it means God can be shown through you to win in this challenge. So a demand needs to be placed on us so that we can actually see a sign that we're sons of God. The whole of creation, including my own little world of creation where I live, I need to show that in my life that God is in me. I want God to show up in my finances. I want him to show up in my relationships. I want the reality of God. Show me a sign, Judith, that God does actually live in you. And that's a good demand to place on me. And I believe it's a healthy demand to say, come on, let's see a sign. Because we are for signs and wonders. The whole church. The church of Jesus Christ, the true church, is for signs and wonders in today's world. So no demand, and I will die with potential. Imagine on my gravestone, had a lot of potential. But the demands actually enable me to see more of God through my life. You know, sometimes we're so quick to bat off any challenge. You know, like playing tennis. No, I don't want this challenge. I don't want that challenge. I don't want this. I don't want that. But actually, sometimes it's like, okay, it is a challenge, but I know with Jesus I can win. I can see and meet this challenge with faith in God, because everything is possible for him who believes. And because of that, I can see God manifest. You see, God actually gets glory in your challenges if you allow him to work. For example, Miles and Haley, the journey that we have actually walked with you, we have seen God get the glory in a situation which was very, very tough. We have seen her showing a sign that she's a believer, because she stood up here and Miles has stood down there, both of them praising God. Doesn't matter where you stand, as long as you are. Platform doesn't make a difference to being a praising person. So this couple are praising God. Within it, we are seeing a sign and a wonder that you can praise God no matter what you're going through, because you are trusting him to bring you out of it into victory. So a demand placed on you is not always a bad thing. We know that we're not to put up with the enemy, but sometimes the challenges that he brings are good for us. I could say in the last year, 2 years, the challenges I've faced have been greater than I've ever faced. But the good things I've seen in my life, well, this is a personal report, I don't know what you would say, are even better. I believe I'm in a better place now than I've ever been, because I had demands. I had situations which were challenging. And I believe the challenges are good for me. And if I'm not having a challenge, then there's not a greater potential being pulled out of me. I'll flatline. I'm a Christian and this is what I always do. I'm a Christian, this is what I always do. Ooh! Went to a revival meeting. I'm a Christian, this is what I always do. Ooh! Went to faith camp. I'm a Christian, this is what I always do. Let's not flatline. Let's not keep it at that level. Let's press on to greater things in God. Your environment needs to be there for something that is going to bring you up. And so that you can reach your potential. I'm trusting that what I'm preaching today is going to bring you up to reach that great potential that you are carrying in your life. So, a demand on us. I've just written down a few demands that can come on an everyday basis. Somebody treats you badly. Number one. I'll show you a sign. It's not quite the sign we were looking for, because all creation is waiting for a manifestation of grace. A manifestation of love that never fails. A manifestation of peace words. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. You're acting like your father. And the demands placed on you from people, let it bring out the best. Christ in you. Just this week, I had a letter that made me want to show another sign and another wonder. And, you know, in that pressure moment, I made a choice to go God's way. Ooh, my flesh wanted to rev up. I tell you, I can rev. I can, because I am the rev. No, I can rev. I can get my flesh high. You know, I was not born with a tame character. And so when I go, I can go. And some of you I know quite well are the same as me. Others of you go into a hole. Get into your cave, shut down like a vault, and both are flesh. Anyway, I had an opportunity to react in the flesh this week. And Immediately I went, oh, hold on, hold on. All creation is waiting for the sons of God. I'm making a choice right here, right now. Okay. Well, I forgive them. I didn't feel it. I just said it because I have to. And sometimes it's like that. You do it because you should. You go in the opposite spirit because you should. A demand has been placed on me. And it doesn't make that demand right. But what God's looking for is the right fruit. So all creation is waiting for a sign of a peacemaker. What about the demand in hard times? We were, and actually singing, and we've heard this already this morning, in difficult times where your emotions, and we've all been there, are as cold as a minus 40 freezer. Have you ever been into one of those? It actually even hurts when you go in. Your skin curls up. And your emotions, you just do not feel like praising the Lord. At that time, it is time to make a choice. Because remember, the manifestation of the flesh can come, or a manifestation of the true you, which is a son of God. But it works with your choice. I will rejoice. I have no choice. I do have a choice, but actually, in terms of this situation, right here now, right now, if I'm going to stay in victory, I need to praise the Lord. You know, I believe the enemy wants to push us down with a spirit of heaviness and to bring in hard times where we actually go down in our emotions and we do not live out our life by faith. We live by feelings. And as soon as we enter into the feeling realm, we can lose our battles because our battles are always won in the faith realm. That's where we get the victory, in the faith realm. And so a spirit of heaviness can come upon you. And it's interesting in Isaiah 61, it actually calls us, God has not given us a spirit of heaviness. And if it's a demonic power behind heaviness that pushes you down, then I believe we need to put on our garment of praise and get praising the Lord. Because praise lifts and frees you. There's a demand placed on you in hard times when your emotions are cold to do a faith rejoice in the Lord always, giving thanks to the Lord always. And that will empower you out of a situation. I once had a picture of this, and it was like I was in the middle of a lake and my power had broken down. You know, if you get in the middle of a lake with a little engine, little speedboat. I enjoy going on water with speed boats. And I clarify that. And you've got to be quick up here. I mean, you can say things and, hey! And my engines had cut and I was like drifting, and anything that, any of the conditions around me were telling me where I was going. And sometimes in hard times you can feel that you're being pushed around. And the Lord says, if you will start praising me, it's like your engine will kick in again and I'll get you to shore very quickly. You can avoid breakdown with praise. Thank you, Jesus. In famine, that's a challenge when you haven't got enough. It's a challenge whether you'll show a sign of your faith in challenge, in famine. What is a sign of faith in famine? To sow and reap. To operate in a different principle than batten down the hatches, guys. We've got to stock up. Food's running out. There's a wisdom that God will give. You're not to give what you're supposed to be eating, but you have seed to sow. And in hard times, in famine, if you will sow, there's going to be a multiplication of God in your finances. This has all worked for me, and I know it will work for you if you do it. So no demand and no challenge, no demonstration of the sons of God. It's when the demands come on us, we see the manifestation. David, at 17 years old, moved beyond his age, his intellect, his experience. He had never killed a Goliath before. He moved in faith, and he says, I'll take on this challenge. I will use my God ability to solve and see a victory. I heard a testimony this week. James Dakin, hope you don't mind me saying this, was on holiday, and he had to share a room with his sister's boyfriend, who's a new Christian. And his sister's boyfriend had a problem, which to James was quite disturbing. And it was like a habit he couldn't shake. And he had like, kept making this noise in his throat day and night. James said by the end of the night, I was like, this no, I don't know what he was doing, but you can ask James later. And James, we are waiting for this manifestation of the sons of God, aren't we? The frustration started him to think, maybe I can heal this bloke. Doesn't matter how it comes out, but let the sons of God come out. And he just said, I heard him, he was really cool language. He said, dude, you know you can be free of that. I'm like, dude? Anyway, dude, you can be free of that. And the bloke said, well, I've never been free of it. He said, well, let me pray for you. You're going to get free of it. And in the name of Jesus, be free. Never again. Amen. When a demand is placed, let's see the Son of God. Let's see a manifestation of Jesus through your life, the authority of the believer. Fantastic. You know, this can happen. It doesn't matter how mature you are in Christ. You have every authority, all authority to heal the sick. I just marvel at the recent and the work that is going on with our young people. The one of the guys that was recently saved prays for a friend because he's an epileptic and he's struggling on a camp. He's praising, I know Jesus, I'm not a healer myself, he said, but Jesus does. I can heal you in Jesus' name. This boy goes home a week later having had no symptoms of epilepsy. And the next week the mum, and I'd rather it was the mum than the newspapers, because it affects people's lives. Sickness pulls people down. The mum texts this lad and said, who are you and what have you done? My son has been healed. That's just 2 weeks ago. And this lad is saying, look at this, it's awesome, isn't it? God can do anything. And there's an expectation that these young people have potential to do great things in God. But it's not age discrimination. You might be 85 here today, but you can do the same works as Jesus. If you think age is a problem, get over it. Doesn't matter what age you are, it's your potential in Christ that you can realize. We need to give our ability a responsibility. I know this is a bit cliche-ish, but give your ability a responsibility. When David came on the field, the armies of Israel were quaking in their tents. David comes up and says, I don't see a problem. Why? Because he's got a picture of who God is and what he can do. He doesn't see a problem, he sees a victory. So he walks up on the field as casual as you like. And everybody says, well, you're no good, you're too young, you're not a warrior, you're not this or that, and you're just a lad, you're only a shepherd. You see, your job does not define you. Amen. What you drive and where you live does not define you. Amen. You are a son of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And so David comes up and he says, is there not a cause? Isn't there a reason that there needs to be a manifestation of God through your life? There's a greater cause. There are people going to hell who need what you have. There are people who are sick that will be healed because you manifest the true you, the Son of God, through you. And so David recognized, actually, this is an opportunity. Everybody else in their tents were praying and probably saying, oh God, when are you going to come through? And God's saying, when are you going to come through? Get out and face it in my name and you will see the power of God in this generation. We see a demand being placed on David, but he is well able to go for it and hit it. Finally, and I promise finally, because actually this is my last word to the church here for 2 weeks, so I know we're going to be launched out into greater things because of it. So let's look at this finally in Mark chapter 16 and then we'll finish. Thank you for being patient with us. Those of you who've got children, they're having a great time out there anyway. Thank you, Jesus. I would be bored with two-dimensional living. It is just down to me, let's go home. I mean, I'm sorry, I'd be so bored. A two-dimensional life is very boring, naturally, physically, soulishly, your mental ability. But the God dimension. Ah, I love the God dimension. We're going to always stay hungry, aren't we, for the God dimension in life. Matthew 16. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and his disciples in every generation, which would include us. Verse 15, he said to them, go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. You could say he's making a bit of a demand on them. Mark chapter 16. Sorry, did I say Matthew? Mark chapter 16, we'll get there. Go into all the world, preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, say these signs. Okay, these are the signs we're looking for. Will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. That's a good sign. They will place their hands on the sick and they will get well. That's a sign. So Jesus was taken up and verse 20 it says, then the disciples went out, preached everywhere. It's important to preach, to bring the message of Jesus, the good news. Preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word with signs and wonders following. The Lord worked with them, confirming his word, signs and wonders following. I tell you, I really believe in this day, we've got to be hungry to see the signs and wonders following. It's a time for power. It's a time for the church to show the real Jesus and the authority of Jesus through us. And these signs will follow you. These signs will follow you. This is your potential. Let's make sure it's realized. Let's use what we have. Because the more you use what you've got, the more you're going to see of God's power. And Jesus, you see, he didn't leave us without the ability. He gave us the ability. We're not trying to find something we haven't got. We've all got the ability currently in Christ to do all of this. Now. But now the demand is, he says, right, I've given you the ability. And now I want you to take responsibility for the sick around you. For those who are tormented by demons, I want you to use my name and command the devil to go. Don't bury your head. There is a spiritual war going on for the souls of men. Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Use your authority. Drive out demons. It's fantastic to see people set free. Bring justice where there is injustice. Bring truth where there are lies. Come and change the atmosphere with the anointing you carry. Show that God is God through your attitudes. Be the best worker where you work. Show the real Jesus in your attitudes in your marriage. Stop complaining about whoever you married or didn't marry. Be thankful. Power your life into a miracle. Rejoice. Give thanks. You have an awesome ability to change the world. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.